have one, and it's bigger than yours. All right. All right. Psalm chapter 42. This is a famous psalm, and this is what it says. Psalm 42, it says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God." Everyone say, hope in God. "For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Now I want you to listen to a few verses. Verse 2 says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and appear before him?" And then in verse 4 it says, "For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. I went with them to the edge with the voice of joy and praise, with all the people that went bowling, all right, and with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast." And so I have a couple questions for you tonight. I'm not going to talk very long because I believe tonight we want to worship more than anything else and just make a place for God in this place. But I want to ask you, young person, are you passionate about worship? Are you passionate about worship? Are you passionate about worship? In the back, are you passionate about worship? Ruth Chi, are you passionate? She is. She's excited. She loves it when I do that to her. All right. Well, if you're passionate about worship, then let me ask you something else. Are you passionate when you worship? Are you passionate in your worship to God? Because being passionate about worship and being passionate in worship are two very, very different things. And you'll find that most of the time in youth culture, we are passionate about a lot of things. But when we really get face to face with them, sometimes we struggle a little bit. So you see some girl or some guy and you go, and you think, "Man, this girl, she's fine." You're telling your friend, "Man, I'm telling you, she's so fine. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey." And you're telling them, and you're telling your friends, "You got to check this girl out. Man, she is so hot. The sidewalk melts when she walks by. I tell you what, she's so hot. My heart just boom, 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 boom." And, oh, and you're talking about it. And then the girl finally gets up. She goes, "Hi." And you go, "Hey, what's up?" And you just kind of walk up, because sometimes we're passionate about things, but when we really get face to face, it's a little harder to communicate. And so tonight, I wonder, are you passionate in worship? Well, here's another question for you. What do you expect out of worship? Tonight, when the band gets back up, they start playing. Some of you are frustrated already. Why is he talking? Why aren't we singing? You know, what do you expect out of worship? Well, what do you expect tonight? Tonight, some of you are here and you're expecting to meet with God. Some of you are here, you're not sure why you're here. You came because you went bowling and you hoped you'd get one of those little bowling trophies and you didn't get it. Now you want to go home. So some of you aren't sure what's going on. Some of you, your friend drug you here. But what do you expect tonight when we gather to sing these songs? Do you expect a feeling? Do you expect that some new anointing is going to come in your life? Do you expect there to be a change? Do you expect there to be a new song maybe that you learned? There could be a lot of things that you're expecting to get out of worship. So the question is, why do we do it? Why do we bother? And the last question I have for you, young person, by way of introduction, then I'm going to talk for a few minutes, is your personal worship increasing? Everyone say increase. The way you worship God, is it, do you want to pose? Did you get that? All right, he's taking pictures up here. You ready for another one? We're going to put it on the website. All right, this is actually my good side. No, I'm just kidding. Is your worship increasing? Is it? Are you affected? The way you worship this year, is it different than the way you worshiped last year? The way you sing songs to God and the way you enter into his presence, is it bigger? Is it wider? Is it deeper? Is it more passionate? Is there a change in your worship from how you worshiped last week or the week after that, or week before that, or the week before that? Because songs might not change, but worship in your heart and my heart should always be growing and expanding. So the first thing I want you to understand tonight is the opportunity you have for worship. Everyone say opportunity. The Bible says this, that God inhabits the praises of his people. Wow. I mean, that's huge. Did you catch that? God inhabits the praises of his people. So what does that mean? Inhabit. What is that, Jeremy? Is that like a habitat for a hamster? Kind of. All right. Your hamster inhabits his habitat. And in the same way, this is God's habitat is the praises of his people. And so when you begin to worship and I begin to worship and we begin to sing about God and we say, God, you know what? You're my savior. God, you live inside of me. God, Lord, nothing's going to take you away from me. I'm going to tell the world that you live. God, literally, that's where he lives. That's where he dwells. If you are searching for God tonight, you will find him in the midst of worshiping people. You will find him in the middle of worship. Maybe it's a long time since you felt God and you say, Jeremy, I don't know. I don't seem to touch God anymore. I'm not sure if he's real in my life. Listen, all you need to do is get into a place where people are worshiping. That's where you find God living. That's where you find him active. Some of you tonight don't even believe in Jesus yet, but I'm telling you the truth. As we begin to worship God tonight, he will reveal himself to you, and you are going to find the very reality of God in this place because people are lifting up his name, and God absolutely loves it. He's addicted to it. You realize that he is addicted to your worship. He can't get enough. He's got to come back for another fix and another fix, and every time you lift up the name of Jesus, God comes back and he inhabits your praise. So you see, tonight what happens is God inhabits the praise of his people. So when you and I worship, when we begin to sing, we don't worship and praise to see what's going to happen. Do you realize that? Maybe some of you, you're not sure. Is this going to be a good worship night, a bad worship night? I'll tell you, it's going to be stinking awesome. It's going to rock your world. It's going to rock the party that rocks your body tonight. Some of you are like, can I write that down? No. I stole it from someone else and now it's mine, all right? It's going to be great because sometimes we come to worship, we're not sure, is it going to be, we wait to see what, I'll sing a few songs and hopefully if it's good enough, I'm going to feel really good and I'm going to be able to worship God. I'm going to sing a few songs and if they play the right chord, the magic chord, there's, you know that there's that one chord, Elvin, that one heavenly chord, and when you play it, whoa, angels start flying around. Hallelujah. Now, that's not what happens. You see, and sometimes we wait. We wait for some supernatural event to happen before we begin to worship. But God says, you know what? I already told you. I live in your praise. The minute you open your mouth, God just comes in. Lord, I mean, you don't even have to say anything. The minute your heart begins to engage with God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the very reality of God begins to sweep into your life because he's already here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, in the name of Jesus, it's his promise. When you gather in my name, I will be there in the midst of you. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you believe the word of God tonight? Come on, that's his promise. I inhabit your praise when you gather in my name. That means even when you gather in my name and you drink Tabasco Coke out there, he's here. I don't know. He's wondering why he's here, but he's here. And so the question tonight is, what's our response to the king? Do we see worship as something that if the band plays hard enough, if enough sweat pours out of the worship leader, if he loses 10 pounds because he's strumming so hard, breaks 5 guitar strings, blood comes out of his fingertips, we might touch heaven tonight. Maybe. What is it? Is it how well he knows the songs? Is it how good he can dance while he leads worship? Is it how excited he can make you? Because sometimes they say, hey, are you ready to worship? Then he pumps you up again. Hey, are you ready to worship? Are you ready to worship? And then you're like, man, that was awesome. Worship leader's having a cardiac arrest. I got a savior. And he's living in me. But sometimes that's the reality of our worship. We wait for someone to pump it up. But what's tonight, what's our response to the king? Because the king is here. This is where the king lives, in the praises of his people. Loud praises, soft praises, cool praises, not so cool praises. Do you realize that God inhabits the praise on prayer meeting night when there's only like 5 of you there and you're singing some song about chariots and horsemen and you're wondering, what in the stink does this have to do with anything? And yet, God inhabits that praise. It's true. He inhabits it, whether you like it or not. And so, you know, because sometimes I look out and I begin to worship the Lord, sometimes leading in worship, sometimes in a congregation, I see a lot of people, not just young people, but sometimes people come into the presence of God and we just stand there and we wait. And I don't know what we're waiting for exactly, but we're waiting for something amazing to happen to make us worship. And we miss the point that worship is our responsibility. And the minute we lift up our voice, the king comes. The king doesn't come and then we worship. Listen, he came. He came and he went and the Holy Spirit came and he's here right now. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He dwelt among us. He lived. He died. He rose again. He sent his spirit that never, ever leaves you. So if you're waiting for something else to come, listen, it's not going to happen until the end of history. So you got a long time to wait before you worship. But he's saying, look, our job, our opportunity, our responsibility is to worship now, to decide to worship. Whether it's inspiring songs, whether it's not, that we begin to lift up our hands. The Bible says this, that let the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Let just my hands lifted up be like in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice to God. They'd take the things they worked for. They'd take their cattle. They'd take their livelihood and they'd burn it on an altar. Why burn it? I mean, it's such a waste. They burn it because they say, God, no one's going to touch it. It's totally yours. We just sacrifice it to you. And that smoke would rise up to heaven and please the heart of God. And David says, look, let the lifting up of my hands be like that sacrifice. Just when you stand here, you might not say a word, but you begin to lift your hands. And that act of worship, as you begin to see it in your spirit, that you're honoring God, and you can see that like incense, like smoke rising up to the throne of heaven, beginning to lift up the name of Jesus. God is pleased, and he dwells among your praise. David longed to worship the Lord. The psalmist longed. He says, look, my soul thirsts for God. When am I going to appear before God? He can't wait. Man, I can't wait till Sunday. It's Saturday night, but I can't wait till Sunday morning when I get to worship again. I can't wait till Sunday night. I can't wait till next week. I can't wait for any time that I can appear before God. He says, I remember I used to go to church. I remember when I went with people into the house of God. And if there's one thing I can challenge you to do, it's not just to worship like crazy here. It's to worship like crazy in your region. It's to worship like crazy on Sunday night, on Tuesday night, in your net, in your home, to become a worshiper of God that really believes every single time you lift up your voice, the songs you hate, the songs you love, the times you're tired, the times you're excited, the times you feel like it, the times you don't feel like it, every time you lift up your voice, the King comes in and begins to dwell in your presence. Come on. We got to understand our role in worship. Tonight, you have a chance to be a part of something amazing. See, God is always worthy. It's never a question of if we should worship God. He's always worthy. Amen? He's always God. That's the cool thing about God. You don't have to think about him changing next week. Now, you might know some guys that changed and they became girls, but God is always God. That's the truth. He's always God. He's not confused. He's not having an identity crisis. And let me give you a few scriptures, and then we're going to get the band up here, and they're going to play. Psalm 27, verse 4. This is David's perspective about worship, all right? It's beautiful. Are you ready for this? All right. He says this one thing. Everyone say one thing. That's a huge statement. One thing have I desired of God. Out of all his life, all his desires, all his plans, he says, there's one thing, you know, that I really desire. And that will I seek. One thing I desired, and this thing is going to be the one thing I seek with my whole heart, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wow. That's how he sees worship. I'm going to seek that I may dwell. Where's the house of the Lord? It's in your praise. It's in your heart. It's with you as you begin to lift up your voice toward God. Psalm 84, verse 1 to 3. Are you guys getting something out of this tonight? All right. Psalm 84. If I can find it, come on, Bible, in Jesus' name. Psalm 84, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, it even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. My goodness. Even a sparrow's found a home, the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. My heart and flesh cry out. They faint for the living God. Now, some of your flesh, they faint for hamburgers and they faint for, you know, all kinds of other stuff. But he says, I faint when if I can't get close enough to God, I'm just going to shrivel up and die. I can't take it. Verse 10 says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be a janitor. I'd rather be an usher. That's why ushers are so cool. In the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. A day in your courts, a moment, a second, just a glimpse of you, just a word, just one song, just 5 minutes of lifting my hands, whatever I can get. It's better than 1,000 days elsewhere if I could just be with you. Last thing, here we go. Zechariah 8:21. Some of you are going, Zechariah? Zechariah 8:21. We'll just call him Zach. This is what it says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come. Listen, I want to give you a picture of how worship is meant to be. It's meant to be infectious. Do you realize that? You're not meant to come and let the worship team get you ready to worship. You're meant to come excited and prepared to worship because the King is going to be here and he's worthy of your praise. Amen? Hello? Amen? Come on. The King is going to come. And he's worthy. And so what happens as you come ready, you begin to get other people. He says, I used to go with the multitude to the house of God. I remember we used to go, man, I'm dying to get in God's court. And you start to call your friends, hey, are you going to the edge tonight? Man, I can't wait for worship tonight. Have you ever had someone say that to you? Because if not, you have weird friends. You got the wrong friends. Man, I can't wait to worship. I remember there are times I wake up in the morning and I cannot wait to pray. I feel terrible. I'm having a bad hair day. Hair's falling out. You know, bad things are happening. I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know, the cat is biting me. Everything's going wrong. I'm just saying, I can't wait to get in your presence. God, I can't wait. If I could just pray, if I could just worship for a minute, I just know everything would be okay. You begin to call people. It begins to infect them. Come on, let's praise. Come on, let's worship. Come on, let's get down to the front. What? You're sitting in the back? You're sitting in the what? You're sitting in the what? Get down to the front. Come on, it's time to worship. And you begin to infect people with the spirit of praise. It says, peoples shall yet come, inhabitants of many HDB flats. The inhabitants of one flat shall say to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord. I am also going. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, listen to this. In those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grab the sleeve of one Jewish man. So grab the sleeve of one believer, shall grab the sleeve of one young person that goes to the edge. People are going to run to you in your campus. They're going to grab hold of you. They're going to just shake you. And they're going to say this, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Wow. Come on. Can you say wow? Say it backwards. Wow. It's the truth. Zechariah 8:23. In those days, when you begin to worship, God begins to inhabit your praise and the King dwells with you. And pretty soon people can tell, and there are going to be people that grab you and say, can I go with you? Because God is with you. Can I worship next to you? Can you just bring your guitar? Can we just sing? Can you bring a CD player or something? I know you can't sing, but we'll turn it up real loud because God is with you. God is with you. I have known some worshipers that could bring down heaven and they sang like old toads on drugs. Terrible voices. Just gut-wrenching sounds coming out of these people, but they just knew how to worship God. It's nothing to do with your voice, nothing to do with the music, nothing to do with anything except understanding what it means to have a heart of worship towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who's worthy of our praise. Can you say amen tonight? Now come on, stand to your feet. We're going to worship. Are you guys ready to worship tonight? Oh, you didn't hear me. Are you ready to worship tonight? Come on, are you prepared to welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? His name is Jesus. He died for your sins. He rose on the third day. He ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to welcome him tonight? Come on, raise up a great big clap and shout.